Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Are your wiper blades chattering, skipping, or squeaking? Don't let streaks or smearing on your windshield compromise your visibility. When it's time to replace your wiper blades, stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and see our selection. Our professional parts people will even install your new wiper blades while you wait. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. I wear mine every time I go out, especially to a concert. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit Tecovas.com, that's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on FishingBooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today.
Welcome to This Country Life. I'm your host, Brent Reeves. From coon hunting to trot lining and just general country living, I want you to stay a while as I share my stories and country skills that'll help you beat the system. This Country Life is proudly presented as part of Meat Eaters Podcast Network, bringing you the best outdoor podcasts the airways have to offer. All right, friends, pull you up a chair or drop that tailgate. I think I got a thing or two to teach you. Minding Your Manners, Part 2. It's Part 2 of Minding Your Manners, and this week we're going to hit a few specifics on having some good ones and the impressions you give off when using them or not using them. In today's world where most folks communicate through text, posts, and videos on social media, our window of creating an accurate representation of ourselves has diminished into only a few seconds, or maybe even a single picture. The same thing applies to the impression we give others. After all, when we're downloading our first impression of someone new, they're doing the same thing with us. Funny how that works. Good stuff to talk about today, but first, I'm going to tell you a story. Alexis and I were traveling last week and got into a shuttle at the airport take us to our hotel. I was making casual conversation with a driver who was more or less my age and responded yes sir to a question that he asked me. Now, he told me I didn't have to say yes sir to him, and in the same breath he said, "Man, you have a nice voice. You ought to do something in radio." Alexis started smiling and looked out the window, and I said, "Well, I kind of am in that business. I have a podcast where I talk about different things each week." And he said, "Well, what was last week's show about?" And I told him, manners, being respectful, and that I had specifically addressed the interaction that we had just had. I told him that it was more related to his position as the captain of that bus and a way of me showing him respect as an adult than it was a statement about his age. We had a very interesting conversation about the observations he made about people he encountered either in his daily life or through his job driving that shuttle. His totally unsolicited opinion was that rural people, adults and children alike, seem to be more mindful of using manners than others. Now, he didn't say that folks in the city were rude by any means, just that there seemed to be a correlation between people from all over the nation that live close to the land in the way that they talk to one another. Who better to make that observation than a man who spends his days talking to people from all over? Now, by the time he got us to the hotel, he was on my side about the advantages associated with good manners. He even walked us in and told the lady behind the desk to take good care of us because, and I quote, these are good people. Now, I don't think there would have been any difference in the way the folks at the hotel treated us had he not gone in and said that. But I'm convinced that the only reason he did was because of the impression he got of us on the ride there. For all he knew, we were polite bank robbers on the lam and hiding in the mountains of Montana, but either way, having good manners worked to our advantage. While our manners had painted a picture to our shuttle driver portraying us as good people, the only other information he had to go was our outward appearance to back up his assumption about our character. It's that old first impressions deal. First impressions happen when a person first encounters another and they each form a mental image of that person. The accuracy of that impression varies depending on the observer, the person being observed, and the setting in which they meet. And I'm sure the shuttle driver's impression of me was helped by having my wife Alexis with me. That gal spreads joy and happiness like confetti, and her beautiful smile and friendly personality puts everyone at ease. Now, the same thing can be said when you flip the coin. Let me give you an example. Robert Alvin Fry married my grandfather's sister, Arlie Mae Reeves, in 1936. And for the next 64 years, they would be together until Uncle Bob passed away in June and Aunt Arlie Mae 6 months later in December of 2000. Uncle Bob had been a blacksmith, a farmer, and was a storyteller like no other. He was a true Southern gentleman, and my recollection was that he loved my Aunt Arlie Mae like nothing else. I remember him telling the following story at a church homecoming to a group of friends and relatives who sat visiting in the shade while Uncle Bob and others told stories of days gone by. In the early 1970s, Uncle Bob and Aunt Arlie Mae were taking a trip on a commercial jet. He said it was the first plane ride for each of them, and if defying gravity and leaving the confines of the earth wasn't enough reason to make him nervous, it was also at the height of the airline hijacking craze. And he wasn't kidding. I checked. From 1961 to 1973, there were 159 airliners hijacked, and over half of them were diverted to Cuba. He said it had gotten so commonplace about a plane being hijacked to Cuba that it was on the news just about every day. Either the ongoing saga from one the day before or a new one that had just happened. He said they were some of the first aboard and sat and watched as others got on and found their seats. Uncle Bob said he watched, and I quote, as a rough-looking fellow with shaggy hair, a beard, and dirty clothes sat down in a seat across from where he and Aunt Arlie Mae were sitting. He said it made him a little uneasy. They didn't see a lot of hippies in New Edinburgh, Arkansas, and it wasn't like he wasn't nervous enough already. He said the fella leaned back and went to sleep before they took off, and after they'd gotten off the ground, he and Aunt Arlie Mae had begun to relax and get a little more at ease with flying. About 30 minutes into the flight, he said a stewardess came walking down the aisle with a big tray of little sandwiches. She'd stop at every row of seats and offer them up, and if the passengers wanted something to eat, they'd reach and take one small sandwich off the tray. He said that he done got hungry because he was too nervous to eat the night before the flight and had skipped breakfast earlier that day. He said, boy, I was looking forward to getting one of them sandwiches and could hardly wait for her to get to where we were sitting. Finally, she got to Uncle Bob's row and was looking at Uncle Bob and Aunt Arlie Mae and asking if they'd like a sandwich. About that time, he saw the hand of that rough-looking fella reach over into that tray and grab every sandwich on it and rake all of them off into his lap and start eating. He said it startled the stewardess, and it scared him so bad that he stood up and shouted, oh, Lord, we're Cuba bound. The stewardess got him back seated and went to get more sandwiches. The rough-looking fella apologized to Uncle Bob and Aunt Arlie Mae and told him that it had been a while since he had anything to eat. He was a nice fella. He was just a little bit down on his luck. They had a good visit afterwards and got to the destination without diverting to Cuba. But it was the first impression and a lack of manners that had painted a different picture in how their brief relationship would go. So while the old saying of you never get a chance to make a first impression is correct, there's another one about judging a book by its cover that's just as accurate. And that's just how that happened.
O'Reilly Auto Parts are in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offer friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. If you're confused about what part you need, like what wipers are going to be the best, what replacement headlights are going to be the best, go into O'Reilly and talk to the people that work there because they're great and they're super friendly and they'll get you squared away where you walk out knowing you got the right thing. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. Do you need your windshield wipers replaced? You need a brake light fixed? You need some quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/meat eater. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/meat eater. Hey, everybody knows Weber grills. I've been using Weber grills my whole life, and check it out. They got a pellet grill, the Weber Searwood pellet grill. Now, with a pellet grill, you can smoke, roast, and sear what I like to do on the same grill. You can go from low and slow, okay, on smoke boost mode, which gives you great smoke at 180 degrees, or crank this thing all the way to a heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full great sear zone, so you can put more food on the flame. This is my way of bold saying. If I was going to cook roast one way, that's how I like to do it, sear roast. Utilize the smoke boost setting to intensify that smoky flavor. Direct flame cooking create searing, crisping, and browning. Food is going to look as good as it tastes. This grill gets hot in 15 minutes. Cleanup is easy. Cook confidently with intuitive digital controls at the grill and enjoy the sleek, easy-to-use surface. You can also add a heavy-duty rotisserie or rust-resistant griddle insert to up your game. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood pellet grill. You ever get that feeling you're stuck inside staring at screens and a primal urge kicks in? You crave wide open spaces, fresh air, the chance to connect with the land. Well, maybe it's time to find your own piece of the wild, but searching for property can be a maze. That's where land.com comes in. They got millions of listings across the country, from mountain ranches to hidden fishing holes. Their search tools are like a seasoned guide helping you narrow down what you want. Land.com isn't just about buying and selling. It's about finding a place to hunt, fish, explore, or simply sit by a campfire and listen to the crickets. So head over to land.com today to turn one day into today. Because trust me, there's nothing quite like the feeling of standing on your own piece of earth.
Let's talk about hats. And why would you take a hat off when you walk in someone's house? Well, if it was our house, it would be to keep my mama from knocking it off your head. You didn't wear a hat in the house. Removing your hat indoors dates back to medieval times when knights would take their helmets off as a sign of goodwill and friendship. I'm sure that's correct, but it may have been more of a functionality issue. I'd like to see one of them try to eat some corn on the cob while wearing one of them. Be like Spider-Man trying to eat anything. That dude did not think that suit out when he was sewing it up. Not like I would have, anyway. But taking your hat off shows respect to the folks you're visiting, that you value their time and you're not about to jump up and leave. Now, if you're only going to be there for a minute or two, you tell them that when you get there that you can't stay, and you keep your hat in your hand until it's time to go. That's having manners and showing respect, whether they know it or not. But when is it okay to wear your hat inside? According to Miss Manners, any place that's considered a public place is socially acceptable. But someone's home or office, that ain't one of them. There's exceptions like when part of an official uniform like police officers and some instances when the military. The military, they got their own set of rules, but in general, wearing a hat inside is no bueno. A restaurant and a cafe, they're public places, but you won't catch me wearing a hat at any table or any male member of my family for that matter. Ladies, however, according to custom, get a pass if it's part of their outfit. Now, my grandpa didn't have a lot of time for watching NFL football, but he had a lot of respect for the Dallas Cowboys' old coach Tom Landry. He'd heard Coach Landry wouldn't wear his hat when they played in a dome stadium. He thought that showed class. Bear Bryant was the same way. When asked why he wasn't wearing his hat for a game in the Superdome, Coach Bryant would say, "Because my mama told me to." Well, that's reason enough for me too. The national anthem, for me, that's a no-brainer. I remove my cover and I hold it over my heart. Removing my hat and standing while it's played is my overt declaration of support for the dream that this nation was founded on and a way to show my respect for those who've paid the ultimate sacrifice for all of us to have our own individual opinions about everything. Left, right, or in the middle. That should be something we could all agree on. What about opening the door, or waiting for someone to go through, or holding the elevator, or letting a person with half as many groceries as you have go in front of you? Are we in that big of a hurry not to do these little things? I always hear that quote, "This fast-paced world in which we live." Well, who made the rule that it had to be fast? Are we not in charge of the pace in which we live? I know I am. And probably, much to the dismay of those behind me, but I operate best at the speed of happiness. And if it makes me happy and doesn't hurt someone else, or even better yet, if it makes me happy and makes someone else happy too, then that's the route I'm taking. Now let's talk about food, which is one of my favorite subjects. At any gathering for food, it is taboo to fix your plate before you guests do. And if you don't have any guests, the kids and the ladies get their plates fixed first. And the head of the household, he eats last. Now, y'all don't get your drawers in a wad over that head of the household quote. I ain't the boss of my wife. We have a partnership based on love and respect. But I firmly believe it is absolutely my duty to protect her and every other member of this home, whether they live here or are just simply guests. That's my responsibility as a husband, a father, and a host. The tradition of that person eating last, at least in our family, was started by my grandpa and was the exact opposite of how it was when my grandpa was growing up. One time I asked him why he always ate last, and he told me that when he was a kid, that sometimes there might not be a lot for him to eat, so the men that were working would eat first. They needed the nourishment to keep working and keep putting food on the table. The ladies followed up because their work was just as important there at home, and the kids, well, they got what was left, if there was anything. He said he'd gone to bed hungry more than once as a child and vowed to never have one of his kids or grandkids suffer the same fate. I can say without a doubt that I never saw him fix a plate until everyone else had theirs and was sitting down. How about the old last biscuit dilemma? Two or three folks with some sopping left to do, and you look up and there ain't but one biscuit left. Everybody wants it, but who gets it? Well, at my house, if you reached for it without asking if anyone else wanted it, you were automatically out of the running. My mama would have throat punched you. She taught us to ask if anyone else wanted it, and if they did, offer it to them. If it was one of my brothers and they took it without offering to share half with the one asking, whammo, automatic throat punch from the lady that baked them. My brother Tim once circumvented this by picking up the last one, asking if anyone wanted it, and when I said I did, he licked all over it when my mama wasn't looking and tried to hand it to me. And for that reason, I was out. Anyway, that clown aside, offering to share it shows consideration for the folks around you, and if you'll consider someone's feelings over something as insignificant as a biscuit, then when it comes to more important things, if there is something more important than a homemade biscuit, you won't think twice about doing it then either. And how about meeting folks and having a conversation with them? That was just as important in my raising. I remember I was 8 or 9 years old and had gone to work with my dad, and we were at the regional office in Rising, Arkansas to get whatever he needed before we set out to work visiting the area chicken farms. He had a new boss, and when he walked in the room where we were, he called his boss by name and said, "This is my baby boy, Brent." He introduced me to folks that same way until he left this earth. Anyway, I was sitting in a chair, and his boss walked over to where I was to shake my hand. I stuck my hand out to shake his, but made the near-fatal mistake of not standing up before his boss had turned my hand loose. My dad said, "Get your butt up out of that chair. You don't shake a man's hand sitting down." I stood up like that seat was on fire, and it embarrassed me, but I never forgot it. Lesson learned. Here's something else. When shaking a man's hand, look him dead in the eyes and use a firm grip. There's nothing worse than trying to shake a man's hand and it winds up feeling like you're just holding hands with a fella you don't know. For the love of humanity, there ain't enough lava soap flowing out of that volcano to wash that experience away. And every time that happens, it sends a message to me that this cat probably did not kill a turkey last year. I respect turkey hunters, and I never met one that didn't have a firm handshake. I mentioned looking in a person's eyes when you shake their hand. Let me tell you about a fellow I used to work with. He would never look you in the eyes when he talked to you. It was the most distracting thing ever to hold a conversation with him. He is a great guy, and we have a lot of common interest. He could have told me the secrets of the pyramids, but I wouldn't have heard him. During any conversation we ever had, I was bobbing and weaving like I was in the ring, dodging jabs from Mike Tyson just to meet his gaze. I've known him for 15 years, and I couldn't swear in court the man has pupils. If you want someone to pay attention to you or show them that you respect them enough to listen to them, look them in the eyes when you're talking. Get a friend to look at you, but not in your eyes while you're talking to them, and tell me that ain't weird. P.S. If you're talking to someone you don't know and they don't look you in the eyes while you're talking, they probably didn't kill a turkey last year either. Back in October of 2019, we went to Disney World. Spent a whole month there, 1 week. And don't get me wrong. I had fun riding the teacups, seeing Bailey dressed up like Cinderella, and having my picture made with Winnie the Pooh. I'd hunted hard the whole first week of Arkansas's September bear season, but I had to fly to Florida to have my picture made with a bear. Anyway, my biggest issue was riding that bus back and forth from the hotel. There was only so many seats, and I think in a week's worth of trips that I got to sit in one, two, or three times. I usually had one when we got on the bus, but then some lady or someone's grandma would wind up having to stand up, and I couldn't in good conscience keep my seat while they stood. I wasn't the only one giving up my seats like that, but there was a lot more men who didn't. And I've often wondered why, because it seems so commonplace and respectful to do it. I long for the day when doing that would bring more attention than not doing it. We all see these viral videos of events that happen, good or bad. And whatever the incident is, if it's in a large crowd, you can see multiple people filming it with their phones when sometimes they should be in there helping the folks involved. It's second nature now to be observers and not participants. Not participating usually completely removes you from legal responsibility should whatever you're witnessing go sideways. But what about social responsibility as inhabitants of this spinning rock we find ourselves on? Am I my brother's keeper? Yep, sure am. If we all started looking out for one another just a little more than just looking at one another, it might make a difference for someone. I know I've told this before, but it bears repeating. When I was the commander of a shift of uniformed deputies, at the end of each shift briefing, before we all hit the road to patrol our areas, the last thing I always told them was to be safe. Try to make a difference in someone's life that day. That's pretty easy. And it's your challenge this week. If you see something you feel compelled to respond to on social media, do it as if that person was standing in front of you. Be nice if that caught on and started trending. Anyway, I hope you're staying cool and eating plenty of watermelon. This summer has been blistering down here in the old heat dome, and watermelon time is just about over. And even though I know there's bands of folks out there my great Uncle Bob and I would describe as rough fellas sprinkling salt on watermelons like a crop duster, well, I hope y'all get plenty too, without having to make an unscheduled stop in Cuba. This is Brent Reeves signing off. Y'all be careful. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. I wear mine every time I go out, especially to a concert. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit Tecovas.com, that's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Hey, everybody knows Weber grills. I've been using Weber grills my whole life, and check it out. They got a pellet grill, the Weber Searwood pellet grill. Now, with a pellet grill, you can smoke, roast, and sear on the same grill. You can go from low and slow, okay, on smoke boost mode, or crank this thing all the way to a heat sear at 600 degrees. It's got a full great sear zone, so you can put more food on the flame. Get fired up for your new Weber Searwood pellet grill.